This is a very special day today. It's called Memorial Day. When God created us, He took part of Himself and He placed it within us. Many of the characteristics of our lives are parts of God that He has given. And though depraved in the man's fall and departure from God, those things are still there. To those who may feel it, wonder, is there really a God? Does He really care? All you need to do is to look inside and know that there are the fingerprints of God. There is evidence that the eternal God has taken part of Himself and placed it within you when He created us in His own image. That little part that I'm speaking about now is that little part that we call memory. Memory literally was planned and drawn into the framework of our life by God Himself. It's there. And this memory, because it's a part of God, is a powerful force within us, both for good and for bad. Now, there may be some of you this morning that are troubled by bad memories. You may not even realize just what the problem is, but memories that have been buried down inside from tears that have been unshed, from wrongs that have never been satisfied in your mind, from hurts that you could not quite understand, but they've gone down into the innermost parts of our being. And they act as a burr, as a many-pointed darts of some type within us that hurts us. Psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you that oftentimes the things that bring about depression and problems today are things that you seemingly have forgotten with your mind, your conscious mind, but your being, all the rest of you, has not forgotten. And it creates that pressure and that weight upon you. They have stated, and I believe it is true, that things that happen as small children that create this scar, that create these hurts, oftentimes live to haunt people in later years. Again, they're placed in an area of memory that may not be able to be expressed in the conscious mind, but is felt throughout a person's body. I realize as people come to me for deliverance from depression and other weights, God has allowed me to have a discernment. And in that discernment, I can see sharp, pointed darts that have hurt and injure and trouble that person. And those memories are constantly, some that they can remember, some they can't remember, are constantly giving them trouble. And I cry out to the Lord, and you've heard me, many of you have heard me, cry out to God. God, today, by the rush of your life, will you not blunt these points? and cause these memories that hurt to lose their power to hurt. And God comes through. Hallelujah. And their memories are still there, but they have risen above them, and they have been insulated, so those memories can no longer hurt them. Praise God. And there is a freedom. I know there are many, many of you can witness to this fact that are here today. God has delivered you, and he has healed memories that have been afflicted. Hallelujah. And I believe right now in this service, before we go any farther, we're going to ask God to heal some memories in this place today. I feel prompted for the Lord to do this. You know what? He's going to do it. We've had people come up here to the front already. But I'm going to ask that there may be some here today, specifics. I know this is of God. I feel God prompting me. I hear his voice, and I know his voice. That there are people here who need to have the sharp points bent over where they cannot hurt you anymore. You'll remember those things, but not in the area of hurt. I'd like to have a stand right now. We're going to go on with the service in just a few moments, but I feel that right here, God has some business to take care of in some lives. And I would like to have people that may feel that depression, oppression, other things, memories that have hurt them, resentments that are there that rise up that they cannot help. I'd like for you to come right up here to the front. God is going to deliver you this morning. Praise God. God's going to deliver you. In fact, there are going to be people delivered before they even make it to the front because God is watching you come. Praise God. Praise God. God has some things he's going to do right here. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he cares about you? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you have memories even against the Lord. You feel that he took a loved one of yours and that it was unfair, and there's always been a feeling you've tried to lay it to one side, but it keeps coming back. And the Lord's going to let you know today that he does the right thing by you. He does the right thing. You're going to hear it ringing in your ears that you can trust him, that not one thing can come your way without God's design and God's help, God's love, for he loves us so much. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's so many of you here. I'm not going to touch you. No one else is, except the hand of the Master. Hallelujah. 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 When I pray for you and I ask God to remove that burden, the moment I ask him to remove that burden, I want you just to lift up both hands and hand it to him. You're going to find something happen in your life this morning. And there's some that haven't come that have this burden. For some reason you couldn't come, but I want you to hand it to him also, wherever you are in this congregation. Praise God. Father, you asked me to do this today because you love people and you want to set them free. You're going to remove burdens and that hurt and the sting of things long since past. Praise God. For you are here. You're here. We love you, Lord. Jesus, as you look at each heart, you know, and you're reading, your spirit is reading every life. And you know those things, those deep things within. And you're at this moment, though the words seem so empty, the words seem so inadequate to express our feelings, the Spirit of the Lord is taking that groan from within and is rearranging and bringing it into a full prayer before the ears of Almighty God. We thank you for this, dear Lord. Praise God forever. Praise God. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask that by the flow of your life right now, that by the flow of your life, that these memories will lose their power to hurt. And right now, as your people lift these burdens up to you, God, I pray that there will be a warm glow of holy oil as it flows over them. And God, in Jesus' name, may this be the moment where it happens. Praise God, for new life, new hope begins. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lift those hands, everybody up here. Just lift your hands, both hands. Even stand on tiptoes if you have to. Reach out just as close to God as you can. Let that holy oil just flow all through you, healing those wounds, those hurts, those memories of the past that have troubled you. For Jesus is here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He sees the tears. He hears the cry. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. If the Lord has given someone the interpretation of this message, I invite you to give it right now. God has spoken. There's a confirmation here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Is your image your eye is still he's empty.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord told you something there. You know that? He said, give them to him. Give them to him right now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. God did this for a reason today, because he's dulling some memories that are not going to hurt you, but he's putting another memory in your heart, a memory of his voice saying, I have taken it from you. When the enemy comes, God wants you to remember what you heard this morning, that the voice of God saying, I took it from you. Hallelujah. 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 For those who may be visiting, and this may seem strange and unusual, the Word of God is replete with encouragement that the Spirit of the Lord would take and see those deep needs within our heart, would take the prayer and bring it to prayer before God. The Spirit would then take the human tongue and speak in a message not understood. And then that same Spirit and proving the supernatural part of God, would bring a message. The people that gave these messages do not even know each other. Our brother that gave the interpretation, the first time he's been in this service this morning in Spokane, Washington. And knowing not, there's been no collaboration. I just wanted you to know that what you have witnessed is God in action. Keeping his promise. Hallelujah. Lift both hands toward heaven all over the place. Let's just worship our eternal God. Glory, glory, glory to God. We love you, Lord. Praise the 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 Lord. Now, I want you to think. I want you to think about these burdens that have hurt you. I want you to think about them, and I want you just to smile as you think about them, because they're not going to hurt you. You've ducked them. You haven't wanted to think about them. But think about them, and they're not even going to hurt you, because they're blunted. In Jesus' name, you have a new wall, and you have a force field about you that blunts the arrows of the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful way to begin a Memorial Day weekend in learning how to forget. Praise God. He tells us there's some things he wants us to forget, some things he wants us to remember. Praise God. I'm going to read this morning, if you have your Bibles, from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 through 16. We mentioned that memory that you have comes from God, and it's so beautiful that in God's memory, those things that are important to you are there. They're important to him. In those times when it seemed like nobody knew, nobody understood, everybody forgot, nobody remembered, God was there, and he remembered. Praise God. Beginning with verse 13, and there's reason for joy all over the universe because of this. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. And break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people. Ooh, I like that. I like that. It ties in with what the Lord said he's doing today and speaking comfortably to his people. He's comforting his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, and somebody else in Central Assembly said, along with them, several people, the Lord hath forsaken me. And the Lord hath forgotten me. I wonder if there's anyone that would care to be real frank and honest in your own heart with other people that would like to lift their hands and say, I'm the one that said that. How many of you have said that because of things this time? Let me see your hands. Only 10? In the early service, there were 100. I guess they need a little help, a little bit more. I think I ought to restate that. How many of you now, just to be real honest, have ever said, God seems to have forsaken me, and he sure seems to have forgotten me? Could I see your hands now? Oh, hey, now they're being real honest. They got convicted of that last time when they weren't being quite as honest as they should have been. But it's easy to do this. it's easy to state our opinion, you see. Do you know, and you might mark this down, it's something that is very, very needful, it's something we should know, and that is that we need to keep our facts and our opinions separated. It reminds me of when Edison's great factory burned to the ground. It had never opened for business at all, as it was a great laboratory. It had not been open even one day. It had just been open house is all. And that night it burned to the ground. All of his life's dreams were ruined, wiped out. He stood there by the ashes that were smoldering the next day. And some of his associates tried to comfort him. And with a teardrop in their voice, they said, "Edison, isn't this an awful thing that has happened? What a catastrophe, Edison. The dreams of your lifetime are in ashes, and we're ruined." Edison turned to him and he said, "This is where I fix this up." He said, "Keep your facts and your opinions separate." He said, "It is a fact that the building is destroyed and everything is matches. But," he said, "it's just your opinion that I'm ruined." Hallelujah. We need to keep them separated. Praise God. Keep your facts and your opinions separated. Hallelujah. It's true, we had trouble, but he didn't forget you. The fact is, you're having a lot of problems. The truth is, he did not forget you. Hallelujah. Then here's what he said, and here's God's word and his statement that you can bank on. "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." Then he says, here's the reason why. "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you were to see God's big hand, and it's in this room today, but if you somehow visualize, you'd see the name there, A.D. Hurt. You'd see Pastor R.H. Fuchs. But more than that, you'd see every last one of your names out. You see, how could he write all those names down hand? Why, if his hand is big enough to measure the heavens with the tip of his finger on one side and his thumb on the other, he said he measured the heavens with a span of his hand. And if he could put all the nations as a droplet in the middle of his hand, he has plenty of room to write. Praise God. "I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me." I was praying last night for the service with preparation for today. And as the Lord often does, he gave me a living panorama of truth here in my office, letting me see in such an unforgettable way that he does not forget, even when people forget. God opened us his divine memory, and I could look and see what God's supreme memory. And he let me see one particular person. His name was Joseph. I hadn't thought a whole lot about Joseph. I knew that Joseph got thrown in jail and was there for a long time. But I suppose maybe I just don't have my, don't read the details good enough, but I didn't realize all that Joseph was suffering in there. But God allowed me to see this, and I saw Joseph with his feet tied with thongs, cords, tight, and they were all infected. And I'm not hurt any sores because of the tightness of those cords. And that my heart went out to him. God says, this is what I thought. I cared when Joseph was down there. I care about each individual. And I saw him with his hands. They were in irons. I thought, sure funny that the Bible doesn't say anything about this. I didn't realize that it did say something about it. And I asked, as I was just meditating, is this anywhere in the Bible? And he said that it was so much a part of God's memories that he would never forget. That the world may suffer and people not know and seemingly not care, but God cares. And he, those things that are important to us are important to him. He said that with David, hundreds of years afterwards, he allowed David to see inside of his memory and write down. He instructed him, write down these things that you see. And he said, you can read this in Psalms 105 and verse 17 and 18. In fact, the whole 105th Psalm is what he let David see in his heart, but here he allowed him to see what happened with Joseph. And it was, and the whole God, it's still there, just like what you let David see is how you must love us, and you remember our needs, those hurts. You remember those little details of our lives that we think that God doesn't even know about, and God has forgotten about us. And here it is. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. You know why God remembered that? God felt those hurts. And he tells us that he himself is touched with a feeling of our infirmities. He knows how you hurt when you're hurting. He knows it. He remembers us. I thought of the different times that the Lord remembered. I'm not going to have time to read the verses, but I want to give you the references. If you have a pencil or paper there, to jot them down. I'd like to give you just a few things where God says that he remembers, and it will give you encouragement in the things that you may be going through. But he says he cannot forget. That's what he said. He said that this woman may forget her son, but I will not forget. God cannot forget. Noah, in Genesis 8:1. Think of the helplessness of Noah on that ark. He didn't have a motor. He didn't even have a rudder. All he had to go on was God's promise. Boy, if he would have started worrying, I just wonder whether God's going to remember or not. Look at here, 40 days and 40 nights, the water just pouring down out of the skies and squirting up out of the ground. What if God forgets? Well, I'm sunk. I'm here with all these vicious wild beasts. What if they quit being tame here? What if the Lord somehow takes his spirit away and they get vicious again? I'm in real trouble. I can just see me and you some other people in there in Noah's place. We'd about have a nervous wreck, wouldn't it? A nervous breakdown up there. But it happened, sure enough, just exactly the way God said. I imagine Noah's heart started beating a little faster as he made another mark on the wall. Another day went by. Here it's 39 days. Boy, it hadn't let up a bit. Yeah, I can't see even any breaks in the clouds. And God sure forgotten. We start worrying long before it's time to start worrying. And sometimes we think that God plays brinksmanship with us. He takes us right to the brink of catastrophe, but evidently it hasn't happened yet. You're still here. He somehow or other got you off the hook. Or if you're still on it, you at least haven't fallen off of that hook into a worse spot yet. God is in control. So 40 days. I just know that Noah was really looking at those skies when all of a sudden, just like the faucet was turned off. It stopped. You know why it stopped? The word tells us there in Genesis 8:1, God remembered Noah. Hallelujah. God remembered Noah. His plan was being fulfilled just exactly the way God said it would happen. He said 40 days. That's all. Thing. Well, wouldn't it be great if we could somehow know what the plan is? So you've been hurting 50 days already, and you're wondering, it would be so nice if God would just let you know what his plan is so you could gear yourself for those next few days if he has a little more time. But we don't know. But what he does want us to know is you can trust him. He will keep his promise. He will not forget. I think of Abraham, Genesis 19:29. When the angels went into Sodom to destroy it, Lot didn't want to leave. But the word tells us the Lord remembered Abraham. When he was there, he remembered Abraham and saved Lot. Praise God. God is remembering your mother, your father, a friend, through love to you. And God is remembering, helping you, because he remembers them. Praise the Lord. I think of a woman. It was a reproach back in the olden days not to have any children. Now somebody told me it's a reproach if you have them. Her name was Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:19, where Hannah, this was so important to her, she went to church when nobody else was there. She said, God's got to be around here someplace. This is a place where I know that I should be able to find him here. So she went up to the front and she started praying. And she prayed and prayed. And the priest there looked at her and he said, her lips are moving, but she's not saying anything. Her heart was praying. And the priest couldn't hear a word, she said. But there was another ear that was listening. And there was another voice that was crying, the voice of her heart. And God said, I'm listening. I'm listening. And the Bible says, God remembered that he made a promise. Hallelujah. And this, she became the mother of Samuel. Then, I think of the different times that God remembered when Israel was in the land of Egypt. In Exodus 2:24, the word tells us it got time to get out of that place. You see, God said you're only going to be here 400 years. The nation of Israel, I'm going to bring you out. It was a covenant that God made to Abraham. And then you read in these verses, Exodus 2:24, God remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham. In God opening up his big memory, he said, way, way, way back there, I remember something. I remember talking to Abraham and saying, Abraham, I'm going to bring those people out here with great spoil. Hallelujah. God remembered his covenant. And Genesis 3:15, he spoke to Moses, and he said, Moses, I have a certain part of me or a certain thing about me that I want to be a memorial to the people forever. And that is that I never go out of business, never out of style. I never change my mind. My promise is always good. It's always the same. And so he said, what is that memorial? What kind of a memorial? He said, oh, it's got to be written on everybody's minds. They've got to know about it, that I am. Who? God. Moses said, if I ask the people, who sent me? What am I going to say? God said, say, I am has sent you. And then he said, I am that I am. That's a kind of funny name. That's the first and last and second name. I am that I am. And then he told Moses, the fact that I am is a memorial that you are never to forget. And I don't want the world to ever forget that I am. And this morning, if we could somehow hear a loudspeaker from heaven saying, who is God? What is he like? We'd hear those words. It's still true. It's a memorial forever. He is still I am. Hallelujah. What he means by that is when I made the promise, I had certain feelings about you. But I haven't changed. I am. I carry them right on along. He is the Father of eternity. Yesterday, today, and forever, he's the same. Hallelujah. What a beautiful memorial that he has given. Then I think of God's memory in Exodus 6:5, as the children of Israel groaned, and God said, I've heard their groanings. I've heard it, and it's cometh before me. Praise God. Oh, there's so many beautiful expressions here telling us what God is like. But because God has proven himself that he can be trusted, that he hasn't forgotten you, and his memory, he tells us, there's a few things I want you to remember. Because you're so prone to forget, you're not I am like he is. You forget. There are a few people walking around that are saying they're I am, that saying they're little gods, but they're not. They're not. They even forget, like I do sometimes. I found a letter in my pocket that has been in my pocket for 3 weeks. I went and mailed it last night. It wasn't a letter that my wife had given me. She knows that they stay in my pockets quite a while. It was somebody's marriage license. Don't worry now. You're married now. It's all right. I had 30 days, I guess, before they would cancel your wedding, your marriage. But you see, we're all the time proving that we forget. I just wonder how many of you men, if you looked inside your coat pocket now, you'd find a letter in there that you forgot the mail. I wonder how many of you wives, if you were looking in your purse and start digging down toward the bottom, you'd find a bill that you were supposed to have paid a month ago or two. Or something, a note that you are supposed to do. You see, we're not God. We forget. But there's some things that God wants us to remember. And here they are, Psalms 103, and you're going to sharpen up your pencil here and start doing some underlining. There's things that God definitely says that he wants us to remember and to never forget. And we're going to go through these real quickly here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Now, coming to verse 3, and here's where I want you to underline. We might underline all his benefits. And then here the benefits are. Verse 3. Who forgiveth 60% of thine iniquities. I read a little message in a book that I have of a fine, well-known pastor. And the gist that I got out of that sermon, and I just read it yesterday, was that you're going to have at least 10% of those things that are not total forgiveness in order to make it interesting on Judgment Day. If you knew you were going to have 10% of them left, wouldn't you like to have a say in which 10% it was? I wonder if there's anybody here that has anything at all that's in your past that you would be embarrassed. You'd be mortified if God were to put it on a big screen in front of everybody and show those things. Well, in case you didn't know it, he is saving some of those real juicy things to let those people that think you're such a nice person, let them know what you're really like. And so that it will remove all of your pride. And so you won't get too puffed up looking for that day. He saved 10% of those things. Don't you believe it? Underline this. He wants you to remember. Forget not. The word forget means, the opposite of forget means to remember. So he says, remember his benefits, and here they are, that he forgiveth all of your iniquities. Hallelujah. He forgives all of your iniquities. Some of you men that got angry, spoke a little gruff, harshly to your kids or to your wife yesterday. Right now you're afraid. Now you've laid it out before God. But if you were to stand before God, you say, God, I'm so sorry I did that thing. God would have to look at you and say, what are you talking about? All of your iniquity. You wives have been kind of ornery to your husbands. As you put your faith in what Jesus has done, God's going to have to look at you and say, what are you talking about? All of your iniquities are forgiven when you give him a chance to do it. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. And for this reason, some of you people, I think all of us, I would just be grateful to God. That's why David knew he had some things he didn't want the whole world to know about. Little did he know that some of those things were even being recorded in the Bible. But he put down here, oh God, I'm going to bless you forever for forgiving all of my iniquities. Then forgiving all of your, healing all your diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. The very crown, the very topping off of our life is the unearned, unmerited favor of God. And when you cannot look to God and say, God, I have done the right things, now I'm going to claim this promise. You haven't met God's conditions. God looks down at you, and David knew this, and he said, oh, God, you're crowning my life even when I don't deserve it. With your loving kindness, you're loving me even when I don't deserve it. And you're showing mercy on me. I kept a little report on my desk for quite a little while, asking people as they came in, Did you do the right things? Do you feel like you met God's conditions in claiming this answer to your prayer? And over a period of at least a year, only a 5% said, I met the conditions. So I could literally say, God, do this for me. The 95% received God's help and God's love. But they said, it's only the mercy of God. I didn't deserve it. It was God's grace. God looked down and said, there's no way in the world that person could ever earn. They just haven't met the conditions, but they need help so bad, and I can and I will help them. Hallelujah. So David was saying, I didn't meet the conditions, but he crowns me with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Praise God forever, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What he's talking about here is that life doesn't need to be boring. It can be exciting. Exciting life. Praise God, because of the good things that God keeps bringing to us. Hasn't he been good to us around here? Hallelujah. And he just keeps on bringing. So our spiritual youth and life is maintained. In fact, not only our spiritual youth. We had somebody come to vote in the church here a while back. And some of the ladies came to me and they said, what do these people do around here to look so young? And I said, what do you mean? And so they picked out, they come in the front. This one, Joyce, was in the front office. They said, well, that lady there now, she's got to be at least, she's got some kids. She's probably at least 30 years old. But look at her. She only looks 24, 25 years old. What do they do to look so young? And then they saw Sharon, and they saw some of the others, and each one they picked out were real old. I don't mean real old, but by in her thinking, they were all past their mid-30s. And I said, well, every one of those you picked out is past 35. And she could hardly believe it. She said, what on earth? She said, I'm going to come here just to stand around. It was going to make people look that young in this place. So if you just started coming here, just keep on coming. And it might do the same for you as it did for these other people. I would like to think that's what did it for them anyway. Well, then he tells us we can thank him because he does the right thing. He executeth righteousness. The word righteousness means that he cannot do the wrong thing. He'll always do the right thing by you. And the word execute means he put it into action. It's not just something up on the shelf. It's not just a big machine that he has that's sitting there dormant. He executes righteousness. He does the right thing by you. Hallelujah. Therefore, we can thank him. Never forget this. Then another thing I want you to notice here in verse 10. We don't have time for the whole thing, but in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How is he rewarding us? How is he dealing with us? It's according to his covenant. The promise that he made. His covenant is ever before him. He does not allow the wickedness, other things to dictate to him his course of action. That dictates what happens to people, their course. But with God, his love reaches out still. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His promise. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If he was doing this, I wonder if anybody in this building would even be here today. But he is not doing this, he tells us. Then verse 12, here's another reason, one thing that he wants you to remember when the enemy comes to you and says, look, this thing is in your, God's going to hold this up for you in the judgment. Verse 12, God wants you to remember that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And when you think that God doesn't care, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Hallelujah. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Then we, just to brief this, verse 20, bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word, doing whatever God tells them to do. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you remember the Lord today? Just in brief, I'd like to read a thought or two that the Lord seemed to impress me with while I was praying yesterday. Since God has given us this quality, this little part of Himself, it is, your memory is a dynamo with power to release that mighty force for good and bad. With our memories, we open the rich treasure chest of days gone by. We are moved by events that are long past. We hear, we see, we feel that which was but is no longer here. Today, some of you have heard again the goodbyes of a husband, of a son, of a sweetheart, as they answered the call of their country and never returned. Because of this part of God within us, some have lived again the last days of one held dear. And your life has been mellowed because of it. Though we can never forget, it is good to have these times of special reminder. Today, you have already thought. In your mind, you have been able to reach back and cause to live again scenes. Poor before, this is part of God. God today is in His memory, is thinking of that day when your heart cried out to Him. You said, I want to be yours. God is raising. He can never forget. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's make this Memorial Day in the truest sense of the word. Make sure that knowing that you can count on God, He will not forget you. Let us determine in our hearts that we will not forget God. Hallelujah. Let us stand together. Let's lift our hands just in a moment of worship. I want you to tell God from your heart, God, with your help, I will not forget. Oh, Jesus, we love you. I thank you, Father, for this congregation. I thank you that today we could take a little glimpse, have a little glimpse at the great heart of God. We should see and we can understand how much you love us, how much you care for us, and that even at this moment, you're thinking of us. And you know, dear Lord, how we hurt when we have been bound by fetters, when things have been heaped upon us, when it seems that we too are in irons and cannot move. But you care. You can never forget. And today you want us to not. Dear Lord, may this day be the release of things that have hurt us and troubled us down through the years. May we know that because God remembers, we can rest in you. Hallelujah. For our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He knows our needs, and he cares, and he's able to do something about it. Praise God. I place each one now in your care for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.